You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single
Dearest Father, thank you for all the listeners here today and who have joined me here on the Father's Quilt. Bless their families, restore their health, give them peace and comfort and joy. Bless their families and bless all their intentions and hopes that they have. Keep them safe and healthy. Thank you, Father, in your precious name. Amen. Welcome, everyone, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. You know, brothers and sisters, I'm sure you have been inundated with the word mental health, and this pandemic has definitely challenged each and every one of us, doesn't matter how young and how not so young, each day with the pandemic and with the onset of other variants that have surfaced, monkeypox of all things. It just goes on and on, right, brothers and sisters? And sometimes when people think about mental health, they typically picture mood disorders like schizophrenia or OCD or a bipolar episode. But what many don't realize is that common symptoms like stress and anxiety and depression, they're also tied to mental health. And among Christians, Catholic Christians, all Christians, it's easy to dismiss these emotions as personal flaws, like there must be something wrong with me, right? Don't we doubt ourselves? Like, you know, we get angry with ourselves. And so, but nothing could be further from the truth. It's been estimated that actually 1 in 5 Americans experience some kind of mental health incident each year. And like any physical ailment, they shouldn't go left untreated. And so for Christians practicing emotional self-care, that can be extremely difficult. And things which benefit our mental health sometimes are often felt like as if they're selfish or they're self-indulgent. And so we avoid them because out of guilt and misplaced shame. And yet our mental health affects how we think, we feel and respond on a daily basis. It can even take a toll on our spiritual life if we're not careful. It's important to remember that God does not want his children to suffer unduly. And we cannot be faithful disciples if we're avoiding our own problems. So, if you find yourself overburdened with anxiety or worry, here are some ways that you can invest in your own well-being. Okay, so I want you to take a look at this. All right, number one, of course, is prayer. Prayer should be our first approach to any problem. And for you, for me, it's the rosary. I find praying my rosary, standing and praying in front of my beautiful picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, I just really calms my heart, really calms me. It centers me. So before we set out to face our inner demons, it helps to take a moment and return our hearts to God. Scripture tells us that the Lord hears our prayers. You know that. And will walk with us through any trial. Psalm 102, we shouldn't worry about standing alone. God knows our fears. He knows our suffering. And he loves us through it all. That knowledge alone can be very encouraging. So take a moment, present your troubles to God. Tell him about your anger, your sadness, and your fear, and don't be ashamed, because he wants to hear your worries. Who knows? By the end, you may discover your burden has grown a little lighter, okay? Second, and I've mentioned this before, and it's helped me in the past, and it's just a suggestion, but putting pen to paper can often liberate your inner feelings. In the book of Esther, in chapter 6, verse 1, on that night, the king could not sleep, and he gave orders to bring the book of memorable deeds, the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. So don't worry about grammar and neatness. Simply sit down and write. And some Christians may find it, they find it cathartic to write about their anxieties, while others actually gain encouragement by reliving old adventures. Either way, the act of journaling can serve to nourish and satisfy the mind. Okay, there have been studies even found that it is especially helpful for those suffering from stress-induced insomnia. Oddly enough, even biblical characters were fond of journaling. When King Xerxes couldn't sleep, he had a servant read to him from the recorded histories. David and Solomon were both experienced poets and would frequently put their emotions into verse. Psalm 13. You don't have to create the next Canadian classic. Just take a moment and put your thoughts to paper. Next, share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. Galatians 6. Never, ever, ever. And this is one that I had to learn. And in my culture, they rarely share their feelings. They suffer in silence. Never be embarrassed, my friends, to share your struggles with other Christians. The church was created so that fellow believers could nurture, protect, and inspire one another as they pursued Christ. So in recent years, so many congregations have always been obsessed with outward appearances. They put on a showy display of being happy, wholesome individuals, when inside they're barely holding it together. Well, I must share this with you. But one of the most wonderful things I have done for myself through this entire pandemic, and I wish I had pursued it. I don't know. I was so distracted. Was joining and being a part of the Legion of Mary. That is a God-ordained organization by God that he gave that we should all be following our Blessed Mother. We follow Jesus through the Blessed Mother. It is not a man-made organization. And let me tell you how many times I've sat with my beautiful group and we've sat there and we've shared different concerns that happen in our lives through the readings, through sharing and testimonies. The most wonderful help came from them. The prayers, the support that I received from joining the Legion of Mary has been the most wonderful thing I've ever done for myself. And I would encourage all my listeners, seek out the Legion of Mary in your parish. I am asking you all to seek it out. Find out more about them. And one of these broadcasts will be, we're going to discuss the book of the Legion of Mary and have some special guests for you who will give you some powerful testimonies. But I'm telling you, my friends, it is such a beautiful organization. such a beautiful group of people who love Mary, plain and simple. They want to give all the glory to our Blessed Mother. They're just following Mary. We're not a fundraising group. We're not out to make money. We're just bringing souls to our Blessed Mother. If you love Blessed Mother, why would you not join the Legion of Mary? Why would you not, right? To me, it has been a blessing. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, it's okay to reach out into your community, into your parish priest, your deacon, if it's Knights of Columbus, if it's Catholic Women's League, if you've got mothers groups, whatever they may be, including the Legion of Mary, these are all wonderful places to seek out support. They are there to help you. They will help you. If anything, my friends, they'll be a good listening shoulder. They may offer you, which will be wonderful, which I'm sure they will be a prayer. Prayer is powerful. You know that, and I know that. So brothers and sisters, seek them out. You're not alone. You don't need to be alone in your suffering. You don't need to feel that nobody cares. There are, but you need to seek them out, because people aren't mind readers. They're not psychics, okay? Right? Nobody, okay? Everything comes from God, but seek out Christian, godly people, right? So no Christian was ever meant to go through this life alone. So instead of toughening it out, like as if you feel like you don't need anybody, lean on your fellow believers. And remember, we're all strongest. We're all strongest when we work together. Okay, we're all strong when we work together. Second, next, eat well. And you say, oh, come on, this may sound strange, but what you eat can have a profound effect on how you think. The Bible has plenty of warnings against gluttony, and its words are practical advice for anyone wrestling with their mental health. So when we overindulge in sugary drinks or deep-fried foods, we're more likely to become overweight, incur physical problems like diabetes and heart disease, and see a drop in our overall self-esteem. Tempting as it may be to soothe our troubles with comfort food, we Christians have to learn to practice self-control. Instead of snacking on candy, why not try a bowl of fresh fruit or leafy green vegetables? Put that into your diet. Cook up a nice piece of fish for dinner rather than a greasy hamburger. I know it may not sound as appetizing, but you're going to be amazed at how better you're going to feel in the long run, my friends. You'll have a much more clearer mind. So next, as if I shouldn't have to tell you this, but read your Bible. This should be a no-brainer. Scripture is filled with multiple encouraging passages for anyone going through a rough period. For starters, it helps to know several biblical figures who also struggled with depression and anxiety. Job was so miserable, he cursed the day of his birth. A dejected Elijah actually went into the wilderness and begged God to kill him. Even Jesus knew how it felt to suffer mental anguish. So if you're feeling depressed, just know that you're in good company. Thankfully, the message doesn't stop there. The Bible teaches us that God will give us the strength. Isaiah 40, provide shelter. Nahum, this is in our Bible book, Nahum, Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7. And walk with us through these dark times. Psalm 23, his message is one of hope and grace and ultimately joy. So whatever this world may throw at you, my dear friends, remember that Christ is going to see you through it. No, he will not let you go. Next, practice some gratitude, my friends. Give thanks in all circumstances. Yes, even the bad times. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There's an old song for children which goes, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. It's a fairly useful piece of advice. So when you're angry or upset, it's easy to forget all the good things which are happening in life. So it always helps to pause and count your blessings. So do you have a roof over your head? Do you have clean drinking water? A family or friends who love you? That's more than what most have. So count your blessings. It may not mitigate your suffering, but it's going to remind you that things aren't as bad as they seem. Practicing gratitude is one of the most effective ways of staving off bitterness and depression, right? And that is the one thing I remember doing when I was diagnosed almost 30 years ago to bone cancer. Is the first thing out of my mouth was I was counting my blessings for everything that I had. So that is such an important point for you to remember, my friends, to help your mental health. Next, if you can go out for a walk, if you can walk a little bit, even if it's bad weather, walk in your hallways, walk in your home, right? If you can get out and walk on the sidewalk, do some exercise. Never underestimate the value of physical exercise. The endorphins from a good run, well, I can't run, brothers and sisters. Physically, I cannot run, but I walk and I try to walk. I know when my body is most able to walk. So right around lunchtime, forget it. I'm too tired. Right after lunch, but in the morning, right after breakfast, I go out walking. And in the late afternoon, if the sun is not too hot, I go out walking. And it's not just before bedtime. They recommend that you shouldn't do that an hour or two before bed. You shouldn't be out, let's say, doing some physical exercises. It should be earlier than that, okay? They recommend that. So definitely a proper diet changes your thinking. It helps your body guard against anxiety, right? And so eating right and exercising regularly, well, guess what? They're the building blocks of good bodily stewardship. So when we neglect them, it also makes sense that our minds suffer alongside of it, right? Right, so it's so important, my friends. So just don't worry how long of a walk. You don't have to join a marathon. You don't have to join a boot camp. But hey, if you're physically able and you can do that stuff, go for it. Do it. Ride your bike or whatever it is. But being outside even, there's something so beautiful about being outside. You would have laughed yesterday. I was outside my backyard and you know what I did? I hugged my three trees in the backyard. I know that may sound hilarious to you, but I got as if I have nothing else better to do with my time. But I love my trees. I love trees, and I appreciate the shelter that it gives me, the home for the different animals that I see playing in them, hiding in them, building their homes in them, the protection from heat. I love my trees. And so I gave them a hug yesterday, and I thanked them. And I thanked them because they're giving me such a beautiful gift, right? So, my friends, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. 1 Peter chapter 4. God created each person with unique and precious abilities. Do you like to sing? Can you memorize scripture better than anyone else you know? Maybe you enjoy volunteering in Sunday school, right? Maybe in your parish you have Sunday school happening again, right? Or lending a hand in a local event. Practicing your spiritual gifts doesn't just glorify God. It can also help you when you're suffering from depression, right? These gifts remind us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The God of the universe created us to be special and desires us to build a better world than we see now. It is a daunting task, but it's an exciting one. So whenever life feels stressful, just practice some of your gifts. And remember, I've always said it, God made you for a purpose. Okay, you are no accident. Even though your mother or father might have said, oh, yeah, we're only hoping for two when you came along. Well, guess what? God wanted you here. God brought you here. So you are no accident. You are with purpose here. So next, rest. Genesis 2, verse 2. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. This may be, I'm telling you, and I find this one hard for me, because I'm not that good at it. It's got to be the hardest entry for Christians to accept. Our modern society moves at a blinding speed, and we're constantly told to work longer, achieve higher, and contribute more often. Even on the weekends, our schedules overflow with tasks like doing laundry, cleaning the house, fixing the car, shuffling the kids off to sports practice. We have effectively forgotten how to rest. True relaxation is necessary for a healthy mind, right? And even for your children. You know, brothers and sisters, sometimes we think, I never had those lessons. I'm going to give them all to my kids. But you get to the point where you've got your children shuffling off to so many things that they get burned out. And don't think that they don't, right? So watch how much your children are involved. And if your children need to veg like you do at times, they should be allowed to do that. They should be allowed to not think about anything. Let them sit and play with Lego. Let them color. Let them, if it's going to be whatever it is that helps them calm down, helps them slow down and relax, then that's what works for your child. But remember, children are no different than adults. They get stressed out. They get tired. And they are at the mercy of us, of how much we put on their plate in terms of, we have ballet, and then you got baseball, and then you got, they're good. Oh, they're happy. They're so, act. Yeah, but at times, they need time out. They need a chance to just do nothing. There were many times throughout the school year, I would allow my children to take a day from school. It's the honest truth. I just said, you know what? Today is pajama day. You're going to stay home. We're going to relax. We're going to take it easy. And we're going to color. We're going to do a craft together. We did whatever we did. We went for a walk and we made the most of it. It was just a timeout, because weekends are often busy, and hopefully maybe weekdays, depending on your job. But brothers and sisters, just remember that. Think about your children too. They also need time out. You need time out sometimes, and guess what? They do too. And they're not able to articulate those kinds of feelings to you sometimes. Children just keep on going until something happens and bursts, and they think, where did that come from? But they are just exhausted from abiding to whatever you've been giving them. So really remember that. Give them a break sometimes. So, true relaxation. If God was willing to take a break, so should you and I. So spend some time reading a fun book or doing a puzzle, right? Even with your children, taking a nap, go see a movie, or, do something that might, maybe get your hair done, or maybe if your young daughter wants to get her a manicure or whatever, or a pedicure, and you go together, the two little girls, the two of you go, then do that. Do something fun. Right? And enjoy, right? And you know what? I've talked about healthy food, but let's say you're always cooking and this is a nice break and you go to McDonald's or you go wherever and you say, you know what? Let's go out for pizza today. Kids need a break too, right? Just change it up once in a while. Don't always be on a fixed schedule, right? It's okay. Self-care isn't necessarily selfish. It just ensures that you're not burning yourself out. So take the afternoon off, I say, and treat yourself. It's really, really important. Time to go. Say, that's enough. I've been here long enough. And here's the next thing. For the most part, everything that I've talked about on battling the common day-to-day struggles of mental health. But sometimes emotional problems can turn deadly. And if you've reached the point where self-harm is being considered, it is absolutely vital. No ifs and buts. Go see a doctor right away. Regular appointments with a psychologist or a licensed therapist can help you with these feelings. There's no shame in speaking with a professional about them. So let's put this in perspective. A Christian speaker once compared therapy to getting routine car maintenance. There's nothing wrong with seeing a mechanic to make sure that everything's all right. So why do we think any different about counseling? God loves his children more than we could ever know, my friends. And he would never, ever want us to stay in a place where we could actively hurt ourselves. So if you are listening right now and you are in this dark place, reach out, please reach out and ask for help. God put you on this world for a reason. This is the best place for you. He wants you in it. He wants you in it. Okay, brothers and sisters? So just remember that. So, my friends, I hope that you enjoyed ways to improve your mental health, right? So, thinking about that, we can also think about, well, how can we receive God's gift of the Holy Spirit? Well, it's one of the most valuable gifts we can receive. And through the Holy Spirit's power, you can access God's strength to help you in all circumstances. There's no need to worry about trying to earn the Holy Spirit's presence with you. It is a pure gift. Nor do you need to follow any type of ritual or formula. All you need to do is ask God for it and receive it. Here's how to receive the Holy Spirit and how to build a close relationship with the Holy Spirit afterwards. So I have exactly 2 minutes left. 2 minutes, but we'll get there. We're not going to be finished, but let's just think about that. So when you receive the Holy Spirit, it means inviting the Spirit into your soul, and you do this as an act of faith. So choosing to receive the Holy Spirit, it's much more than a transaction. It's a relationship. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you don't do so separately from the other aspects of the Holy Trinity, God the Father and Jesus the Son, because they are united. You enter in a relationship with the living God, of whom the Holy Spirit is a part, when you receive the Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit at the moment you put your faith in Jesus. As you begin to a relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit enters your soul immediately. Immediately. Ephesians 1 makes it clear. All right, Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14. And I'm not going to go to it right now, but it makes it clear that the Spirit comes to you at the moment of salvation. And you are also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. So when you were baptized, when you went, whether you're a new Catholic, and be sealed in the Holy Spirit, says our priest, when you are baptized. For all who are baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Everyone who has a relationship with Jesus is also connected to the Holy Spirit. So, my friends, we will continue this next time, but I pray that this broadcast has been a blessing, and I just thank you so much for sharing the afternoon with me, and I look forward to being with you next time here on The Father's Quilt. Bye for now, and God bless you. I've got love.